This is Dale Cantrell with Meridianville Holiness Church. Thanks for joining us for this look into God's Word as we try to gain a better understanding of God's will for us. Many of us at the Meridianville Holiness Church feel like God would be pleased with us sharing our faith with our community and surrounding area. I feel like if I knew the cure for cancer and did not share it, it would be like the four lepers of 2 Kings 7:9 who proclaimed, "We do not well to hold our peace." I have felt a bidding to do this for probably about 5 years, but have put it off. And in July 2012, I had a bad heart attack, and I stayed in CCU for 4 days at the Huntsville Hospital. From that point, I started reviewing anything that I might regret should another life-threatening event appear in my life. I felt if I didn't address this, I would have a regret, and I want no regrets. I hope that those in the hospital, nursing home, rehab, or wherever that can't get to the Word of God where it's been delivered in person could benefit from this message. How many listening to this feel as though you still have hope? I know that hope is essential and necessary for all mankind, but especially for someone who hopes to make it to heaven. I heard a story of a ship that sank in the harbor, and the rescue ship worked very quickly to save the crew. And while they were attempting to rescue, they heard a banging that was coming from inside the ship. They finally realized that someone was sending them a message in Morse code, and the message asked simply, "Is there any hope?" That is what we all want to know. Is there any hope? Whether we be at the doctor's office with a loved one waiting on the results from a biopsy or a test, or waiting at the hospital for the doctor to come out and tell us the results of a very risky surgery. That's what I'd like to do. For those who have no hope or those who want to strengthen the hope that you have, my prayers are for you. Today I would like to speak to you about the storms of life. If we heard that there was going to be a storm in just a few hours heading our way, we would do everything we could to be prepared for such an event. We have learned in North Alabama area to be weather and storm alert, be weather conscious. It would truly be unwise just to ignore the warnings. We would do everything we could to make sure that we, along with our family and loved ones, would be safe and prepared. You are either in a storm or just came through a storm, or you're about to go into a storm. Friends, that's all the time, so it's absolutely necessary that we learn to navigate the storms. I want to read you of a story of a storm that the Apostle Paul went through. It's a natural story, but I see all kinds of spiritual lessons within this text. What kind of storm are you going through right now? Is it a storm of addiction where you're trying to break free from a bondage you've had for years? A storm of sickness where you're praying and believing God for healing, but no healing has come yet? A storm of financial pressures, trying to keep from getting swallowed up by debt. A storm of relationships, trying to restore broken relationships with a spouse or children. A storm of doubt or hopelessness, wondering how can we survive the storm. If it's not you that's going through the storm, it's either the person in front of you, behind you, beside you, or someone that you're near oftentimes. Turn with me in your Bible, your King James Version, if you will, to Acts 27:13, where our story begins. But before I begin reading, let me give you some background to the scripture. Paul was brought before a ruler yet once again. Paul told the ruler that he appealed to Caesar because Paul was a Roman citizen. The ruler said that he might have let Paul go, but since Paul appealed to Caesar, then to Caesar he must go. Now let's begin at Acts 27:13. In verse 13 says, "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosened thence, they sailed close by Crete." Friends, how many times have the soft winds of your life blown gently, and you took that as a sign that everything was all right, not knowing that the storm was just ahead? The soft winds caused us to get relaxed and lose our diligence. We failed to be prepared for the storms, and they took us by surprise and caught us unprepared. Too many times, this means death for many people. Verse 14 says, "But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon." Paul didn't know about ships, but he knew about the master of the storms. The shipmaster knew a lot about ships, but didn't know the main thing that counted, the master of it all. The soft winds are just a setup for the enemy to unleash the storms to destroy us. So when you see the soft winds blow, don't get too relaxed. Don't get too comfortable, lest you be surprised by a hidden storm. Verse 15, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." Why don't you just let God drive your ship or your vessel? Can't you see how things have turned out up to now with you driving at the helm? Have you ever been driving in the rain and unexpectedly you go through a pocket of water and your vehicle hydroplanes? You lose control. There is little or nothing you can do, and you fight as hard as you can to regain control. I don't know about you, but I must confess, I have just took my hands off the wheel and asked God to drive. So why don't you just let God drive? He is a much, much better pilot than you. Verse 16 says, "And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." Verse 17 says, "And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, strike sail, and were so driven." They undergirded the ship. They did what they could just to hold the ship together, to keep it from breaking apart, and used helps. Are you a help today, or are you one that hinders? You will either do one or the other to your church, family, friends. You say, "I'm not a hindrance, but I'm not a help." Yes, you are. You can't straddle a line forever. You'll either fall off on one side as being a help or on the other side as being a hindrance. Verse 18 says, and we've been exceedingly tossed with the tempest, the next day they lightened the ship." As I was reading this story one day at my home, the Lord took this natural story and showed me spiritual parallels. Oftentimes the Bible used natural stories to show you spiritual lessons. Jesus himself taught in parables. He used things people did understand to show them things they couldn't understand. I was in a storm myself when I read this scripture, and God gave me my first clue as what I had to do. I had to lighten my ship, my vessel. What do you have on your ship, like Jonah, that's causing everything around you to be turbulent? What is on your ship that you could do without? Is it a grudge, bitterness, a feeling, an imagination, stubbornness, envy, jealousy, or whatever? These can cause your ship to sail rocky on the sea of life. Your ship will sail so much smoother when you get rid of these. You need to clear the deck. We live in a day when fathers are against sons and mothers are against daughters. Like the eagle who has the ability to rise high above the storm. Like planes, airplanes, who are rocked by turbulence until they reach a higher altitude. You have such an ability to rise above all these things. I heard a story once about three trees that were planted on the side of a hill. There was an oak tree, a big oak tree, a pine tree, and a little cedar tree. And the storms came and blew this certain day, and the oak tree went sliding down the hill. Not long after, the pine tree also slid down the hill, but the little cedar just held firm. The next day, the people of that area went around, and they were so curious as how did the cedar tree make it when the other two big old trees couldn't. They took shovels, and they dug down deep, and they found that the cedar tree had took its roots and wrapped itself around a big old stone, a big old rock. Friend, you must take your roots to be rooted and grounded and wrap it against the rock, Jesus Christ. Verse 19 says, "And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship." That sounds like a desperate situation, to throw out the tackling. Now we can't guide the ship properly, and we're at the mercy of the winds and the currents. We're essentially now on a sailboat. This is a desperate situation to be in when you're in a storm. I am sure many hearing my voice are in desperate situations, and I would like to help you find hope. Many are depressed and feel like they're at the end of the rope. If it's not you, it may be someone you know, the one who sits beside you or behind you or across from you at church. Verse 20 says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I have never gone long without seeing the natural sun or stars, but I have been low spiritually, where it did seem so very dark where I was at. It was very critical that they see the sun and the stars what they were using to navigate the ship by. They had no radar or onboard computer. They needed the sun and the stars desperately to navigate the old ship. Have you ever had any dark days when nothing good was shining down on you? All hope was taken away. Don't ever let go of your hope. Hold on tight. Without hope, we are men most miserable. The sad part is there's no need for you to live another day without hope. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If we were on a plane and hit turbulence, you looked at the flight attendants and they were calm, you'd probably think it must be going to be okay. But if you looked at them and saw terror in their eyes and in their faces, it would indeed be time for concern. Look to Jesus, who in the storm was in the bottom of the ship, on a pillow, fast asleep. If Jesus isn't worried, then there is no need for us to be worried. When we were children at home, we let our parents handle almost everything without worrying where our meals would come from or how the bills would get paid or anything. So let's let go and let's let God. Verse 21 says, "And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Friends, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss.'" We have to listen to the man of God and the word of God. If we don't listen, we will suffer the consequences. Verse 22 says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." Wow, what a promise. I wish that it could be said of every person listening to this right now that there wouldn't be any lost. Verse 23 says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." We have to know who we are and whose we are and whom we serve. Verse 24 says, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given them thee all them that sail with thee." Verse 25 says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it should be even as it was told me." Verse 26, "Howbeit we must be cast upon a certain island." Verse 27 said, "But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country." Verse 28, "And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Friends, that tells me that we're getting closer. When is the last time you sounded? There's so many people today that are in intensive care naturally, and there's so many more that's in intensive care spiritually. I heard a story about a young man that had a motorcycle accident, and he wound up at the hospital, and they had him in the corner, and he heard them talking, the nurses and the doctors and whomever. He couldn't respond. He couldn't say anything himself, but he could hear them talking, and he heard them say, "I don't believe he's going to make it. Work on somebody else." And he thought to himself, "I want them to work on me. I wished I could tell them," but he couldn't get any sound to come out. In a little bit, they kept coming and checking on him. And then a little bit, he heard them say, "He's gone. Take him to the morgue." He didn't want to go. He said, "I didn't want to go to the morgue. I wasn't gone, but I had no way to tell him." And they got a hold of his little bed, started walking away. And he was wanting to tell him so bad, he was struggling within himself. And all of a sudden, he coughed involuntarily, and they knew he was living. Friends, if you hear the word of God and you can't acknowledge it any other way, just cough And let God, let us know that you're still living and that you still want to make it. You need to sound out like they did to see how close you are to the shore. How can I do that? By hearing the word of God and comparing where you are at or where God's GPS says you need to be. What does it mean when you sound and you're getting closer? That's what it means. When you sound and you're 20 fathoms and then you're 15 fathoms, it means you're getting closer. You're going the right direction. Is the way you're headed taking you closer to the shores of heaven or farther away? If you see that you're drifting farther away from God, do like the GPS suggests and recalculate or turn around the next chance you have. Verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Oh, I can relate to every bit of this. Many be the time I was so troubled, I just went to bed and cast my anchor and prayed, Lord, get me to the morning. We may make it, as the old song says, one day at a time. Verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the fourth ship. They acted like they were going to stay on the ship under color, but they were making plans all the time to abandon the ship. Stay on the ship. It's the only way to make it to heaven's shore. We do know that God's ship is going to make it and land safe. We'll make it too if we're on the ship when it pulls into the harbor. Verse 31, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. We cannot make it without standing on the old ship of Zion. And we do know that the old ship of Zion is going to make it. Whether we make it or not depends if we're on the ship or not. Verse 32 said, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Verse 33, and when day was coming, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this is the 14th day that you have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. A man or woman would have to be in a desperate situation and to be troubled not to eat for 14 days. Jesus fasted 40 days in the wilderness, and we can go about 3 days without water, only a few minutes without air, without having death or brain damage, and we cannot afford to be without hope for even 1 second. Verse 34, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Verse 35 said, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Paul blessed the bread, as Jesus did with the 5,000 and broke it. That's the way God does us, when he blesses us and then he breaks us. Is that good or bad? That's good, because if you're broken, there's more of you to go around to help other people. Instead of being just one person, the whole perfect you, there are broken parts that can relate to more people than just the whole perfect person of this life. That is multiplication in its finest form. Now the broken you can be more understanding and compassion. But we have to get off the me channel to help others. God doesn't broadcast his instructions on the me channel. God didn't make us to get. He made us to give. A taker may eat better, but a giver will sleep better. If we have God's spirit within us, then we have a transmitter and a receiver within us that we can use to communicate with our maker. Sometimes there's static on the line, like the old black and white TV that we used to have to turn the old outside antenna just right towards a source to get a reception. And then it was pretty staticky. Verse 36, then were we all of good cheer, and they took some meat. Verse 37 says, and we were all in the ship, 216 souls. That's 276 souls. I don't know how many are listening to this, but like these 276 people, everyone that hears this needs to take measures, stay on the ship. And if you aren't on it, get on board quickly. Time is running out. Verse 38 says, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened a ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. This is at least three times they have lightened the ship. Verse 18, verse 19, the tackling, and now in verse 38, we're lightening the ship for at least the third time. Only this time it's the wheat. Don't throw out the wheat. That's our food. And it must be a desperate situation when we relinquish our food. If you throw away all grudges, bitterness, etc. overboard, and the ship is still tossed about, then look around again, because it's on the ship somewhere and has to be found. Verse 39 says, "And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into which they were minded, if possible, to thrust in the ship." Verse 40 says, "And when they had taken up anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made towards shore." Verse 41 said, "And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. The hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves." Verse 42 said, "And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion," verse 43, "and the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from the purpose, and commanded they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land." If you can swim, then swim. If you can't swim, then dog paddle, or any kind of way you can survive until someone can swim, that can swim, can help you. If you can swim, look around and see if there's someone you can help throw aboard to. Be like Romans 15:1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Verse 44, "And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land." If you can swim, by all means, throw aboard to one of these that's struggling along. This is my prayer, that we can all make it. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. I believe that we're all put here to help someone. I believe that's our purpose, is to give and not to give, to make a difference. We ought to wake up in the morning and say, instead of saying, "God, bless what I'm doing," say, "Lord, help me to do what I'm blessing." I know that today that God is going to do some wonderful things for somebody, and I'd like to put my name and your name in that bunch. May God wonderfully bless you until we meet here next time at the same time. My prayer to God is that many, as Ken, will make it. Please phone, text, or email any comments or feedback or suggestions to Dale Cantrell at 256-508-4410, or email me at dalecantrell2@gmail.com. That is Dale, DaleCantrell, in all lowercase, @gmail.com. Meridianville Holiness Church is located at 1285 Steger Road in Meridianville, Alabama, 35759. But any notes or letters should be sent to 278 Priest Lane, Hazel Green, Alabama, 35750. Just come by sometime and join us and listen to the singing. And if you don't want to stay after you've heard the singing, just excuse yourself on out the back, and we won't feel bad and hard at you any at all. If you do not live near the Meridianville area where our church is located, but still would be interested in attending a service near you, then contact me, Dale Cantrell, and I will get you the information of where the nearest church location closest to where you reside is at. Again, may God bless you. Hope this has helped you in some way. If it has, please, by all means, let us know.